prepared about what was going to happen to him. This indicates the fact that the knowledge and awareness of what was going to transpire was very well known for the people of that area and his close companions. So the question that we want to ask here, in the context of this awareness that he had, his companions had, and his relatives had, was that if the imam knew that he was going to be martyred, why did he then go out and go out and move forward towards the plains of Karbala? Isn't it necessary for a person to avoid a situation that could lead to his death, and protect himself? Isn't this a religious responsibility? This question, of course, is a question that should be tackled in theological discussions and in an academic environment. But we can answer this question in many ways. We can look at it and analyze it in many ways. One of the ways that we can answer this question, this answer has been mentioned by many of the ulama, is that the imams, even though they did have knowledge of the unseen, and they were aware of certain events that were going to transpire in the future with them, the imam is required and responsible to act upon, to act as if he doesn't have this knowledge. It's hard to actually describe this in English, but the gist of the answer is that the a'immah alayhim as-salam, they feel it's incumbent upon them to act normally or according to the appearance of everyday life, and overlook the dictates and that which is necessitated by this unseen knowledge. It's required by the imam to act as if he doesn't have this awareness, and act according to the apparent conditions and the situation at hand. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We're looking at the knowledge of the imams of the unseen and its effect on their actions in this world. Thank you once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Seven barometer pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only King.
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. One of the modes of communication is by use of metaphors, by use of similes, by use of examples and parables. And by doing so, we are able to make our audience, or make that person who we are aiming to make understand our point, understand it easier and better. So therefore, we see that in the Holy Quran, or in the glorious Quran, there are many instances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives parables, gives examples, in order for the understanding of a very intricate point, a very deep concept, to be understood easier. And this is something that we are taught, that the Holy Quran does so in order to make people understand. Therefore, when we are speaking, it is also wise and it's also worthy for us to actually use this particular tool to make people understand. The book that we would like to introduce basically is all about that. It has taken examples and parables and similes, metaphors, and has used them in a manner to explain very detailed and intricate points, but in a very simple manner, in order for anybody, even with a very limited means of understanding, to understand the concept, even at a very low level, but at least grasping the concept, and obviously putting the responsibility on the shoulder of that person if they want to get a better understanding to go and research further. So the book that we would like to introduce to our dear brothers and sisters today is based on this concept, the concept of giving examples and giving, you know, metaphors and similes in order for people to understand concepts better. And hopefully in our next segment, inshallah, we will be introducing it. So please stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. As mentioned previously, the book that we would like to mention and introduce to our dear listeners is titled Parables, Important Questions, Simple Answers. The book is a compilation of some of the statements and TV programs of Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati, who we have spoken about many times on this program. And the book was translated by Samir Al-Hakim. So the translator himself, and it was published by Ansarian Publications in Qom, Iran. But it was also published by another publication. I can't remember the name of that one. But I know that this present book is available from Ansarian Publications. But anyway, the translator himself speaks about this book and says that Hujjat al-Islam Mohsin Qaraati, in his televised program lessons from the Quran, is using parables and similes. So those concepts and parables and similes that Sheikh Qaraati used in those programs were very successful, and they were very successful in getting a message across and making people understand. So therefore, in this publication, the author himself selected 100 of the many similes and parables he has conveyed. So he has used these parables in his TV programs, but here he has taken those parables and used it under a particular question that he feels the parable answers. So this is what he has done. So in this publication, the author has selected 100 of the many similes and parables he has conveyed and presented them in a question and answer form. So for example, he will be dealing with a particular question. Under that particular question, which is obviously either in beliefs or in history or whatever, 100 of those that were used on this TV program, Lessons from the Quran, were brought and were therefore then translated afterwards by the dear Sayyid, Sayyid Samir Al-Hakim. So inshallah, in our next segment, we will be reading a portion of this book for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned.
Among the sacred texts we have received to help us understand where we came from and where we are going as a human race are most rich in helping us find our direction. They narrate stories of our past. But where have they brought us? Where are their messages now? Are we the people of belief, or have we become the people of the boxes? Is there wisdom trapped in our bookshelves? 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 Bookshelves?
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. The book that we have introduced to our dear listeners is titled Parables, Important Questions, Simple Answers. The book was compiled by Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati from some of the parables he used on his TV show and was then translated by Sayyid Samir Al-Hakim. The book is available from Ansarian Publications. So we will begin with obviously the first question. And as we said, the book is formed and compiled in the form of question and answer. So the first question: why did God create the world, mankind, and everything in it? If a well-versed scientist gives an excellent speech, one will not question why was such a good speech given by this expert.
because he has the knowledge and expertise in the field that he is able to express his views. However, if the same scientist, with all the experience and knowledge, remains silent, the question will then be why nothing was said. God has the ability and wisdom and mercy to create from soil wheat, and from wheat the germ, or in this the translator used the word sperm. It's the germ, and from sperm a complete human being, unless he meant the sperm that is in the human being after the human being eats it. So God has ability and wisdom and mercy to create from soil wheat, and from wheat sperm, and from sperm a complete human being. And if he did not create this complete and perfect creation, the question should in fact be, why is it that with all his power to create, he did not? Question 2. What is the role of faith in God in the life of mankind? If you enter a house in which you know this place has no owner, nor is there any accountability, nor any cameras watching over your actions, nor having control over your actions without any trace of system or mandate over what you do, in such an unrestrained and unhampered free environment, whatever discipline over our actions and control over ourselves will be considered to be to our disadvantage. However, if we know that this house has an owner, and that we are accountable with all our actions under full view of the owner, we would certainly act differently. Faith brings us this, an owner by the name of the wise God, taking accountability for our actions in the name of the day of resurrection. For all our thoughts, actions, and words, there are rewards and punishments, and we too will take account of our own actions and make an effort to thwart any rebellion. Any action in which the owner does not like, we will not do, because we know we will be accountable for our entire actions, be they good or evil. And God is ever waiting in ambush, that is ever watching over us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to act upon the wise and wisdom that He has presented for us in the Holy Quran, in the glorious Quran, and in the Ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and to grant us a deep understanding of these deep principles as well, inshaAllah. Until our next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Let's everyone recite the salawat اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم Let's go to a new lesson which is very important Have you ever played basketball?
Yes, I have yeah? played
bounce yeah.
So
the sound of bounce
Yeah, yeah. Like you hit the ball on the ground, on the floor, yes? It just hits back, yeah? It comes back.
It bounces.
Yeah, it bounces. So this bouncing sound in the Holy Quran, as well, we have on some of the letters. With some of the letters, we produce this bouncing sound. Like the letter, okay? Like the letter is ba, b. The letter is jim. The letter is, for example, kha. It just jumps a little. Like sometimes, it's too cool. You just... Jump, yeah? Okay, enough. That's it. That's good. That's good. Now, come to the Holy Quran. Look on the alphabet letters, okay? This is one of the attributes of some of the letters, not all of them. From Aleph to Yod, they do not bounce, okay? They do not produce a bouncing sound. Like we say, we can't say, we can't say, okay? Remember, the bouncing sound is different from harakat. Harakat has the sound, the Be, bo. But bouncing sound is not that way, okay? So, remember that bouncing sound is produced when the letter is sakin. When the letter is?
Sakin.
What was the sign of sukun?
Like a doll.
Like a doll.
Or
yes?
Like a small ball.
A small ball? Yeah, like
half
a small
ball. Like
yeah. Look, a half circle. So remember that this qalqala will be done. I mean, this bouncing sound will be produced when the letter is sakin. And there are only and only five letters that produce this bouncing sound. So let's count those letters. So number one, I say, so I am Mr. Qaf. You are Mr. Pa. Don't forget your name. You're Mr. We have five people, five letters we have. You're Mr. Ba. You're Mr. Jim. You're Mr. Dal. So now say your name. Say your name. I say my name. Qaf.
Ba. Ba. Ja.
Da.
Dal. Again. Qaf.
Ba. Ba. Ja. Da.
Dal, right? Okay. So five letters are there. Qaf. Pa. Ba. Jim and Don. Okay, everyone, as you hear us, so remember that these five letters are the Qutb Jad letters, okay, in the Quran, that we have them whenever they have sukun, okay? Because they have sukun, you can't read them without any other harakat, which comes previously, okay, before that. So when it comes, when it has sukun, the other letter helps it, okay, to produce a sound, but the sound is different, a bouncing sound, okay?
Ground.
Yeah, punch it.
Punch it to bounce it in the ground.
Yeah, okay. So now let's go and produce some bouncing sound with these five letters. So now Dal doesn't have this bouncing sound, right? Mim doesn't have this bouncing sound. Lam doesn't have. No. How many?
Only
five. If you want to remember them, okay, and not forget them, make a word with them.
Qutb
Jad. Qutb Jad.
Qutb Jad.
Okay.
Jad means grandpa.
It's not that one.
Qut
means Qutb Shamal, right?
Yeah.
The North Pole.
The North Pole grandpa.
Yeah, the North Pole grandpa. Don't forget it, okay? The North Pole
grandpa.
What about the South Pole grandpa?
Qutb Jad.
Jad.
Okay, good.
Jad.
So guys, let's make the examples. All right? Are you ready? How much ready?
So much.
Are you ready to recite a salawat?
Ready.
Yeah.
But not very loud, okay? Because people are sleeping.
Allah Muhammad. Salli ala
Muhammad.
Ali Muhammad. Wajil. Calm down. Don't be angry. It's okay. Okay. The world has not ended yet. It's okay. So, let's make some examples. Let's practice. So, I want everyone to practice with me like a fatha with a dal which has sukun. How do you say this?
Ad.
So everyone listen. Ada, I don't say. Ada and ad are different. We say, if someone says ada, it means dal has fatha. If someone says ade, fatha, kasra. If someone says ado,
zamma.
Bamma. Okay, but if it has sukun, how do you say this?
Ad.
Ad. Just a bounce.
Yeah.
Bounce.
Ad.
Ad. Id. Ud. Right?
Ad. Id.
Oh. Yeah, okay, jump a little. Ad, id, ud.
Ad,
okay. Hadi, now say your name. What was your name?
Hadi.
Your name was Ta.
Ata.
Okay, now.
At, it, ut.
Ata, it, ut. What was your name?
B.
Okay.
Ab, ib, ub.
Okay, good. What was your name?
Ab, ib, Jim.
Jim, okay, Mr. Jim,
taj,
say.
Taj, taj. No, we, okay.
Aj, id, uj.
Oh, aj, id.
What was your name? Dol.
You just say.
Okay.
Ed, id, ud.
No, bounce.
Ad,
No. How do you say this?
Ad, id.
Tell him his name. He has forgotten. Old boy.
His old name man. Is Mr. Dinosaur.
Okay. Ad, id, ud. What was my name? Mr. Qaf. Aqwa. Aqwa. Aqwa.
Okay, great.
So everyone now say Hadi, say all of them from Qaf.
Aq, iq, uq, ap, id, ud.
Bounce a little.
Aj, id, ud.
Aj, ba.
Aj, ab, ij, ib, up.
Okay, dal.
Your name.
Dal, ad, id, ud.
That's it. Minhal.
Aq, iq.
Okay. A little bounce it.
Okay.
Aq, iq, uq.
Aq, iq, uq.
Not harakat, no harakat, okay? Aq,
iq, uq.
Okay, great.
Aq, iq, uq.
Aq,
iq, uq. Aq,
iq,
uq.
Great.
What was Yahya's name?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, what was your name?
Ba.
Mr. Ba.
Ab. Ab. Ob. Aj. Aj. Od, ad, ed, od.
That's it. Thank you so much. God bless you, inshallah. Let's practice some words, okay, with the rule Qalqala we have, okay? So everyone, repeat after me. So the Suratul Ikhlas we have, yes?
Yes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul hu, everyone say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul hu wallahu ahad.
قل هو الله أحد
الله الصمد
الله الصمد
لم يلد ولم يولد
لم يلد ولم يولد
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Yeah, سورة البلد. Let's practice some of the verses. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
لا أقسم بهذا البلد.
Great. أقسم بهذا البلد. Great. وأنت حل بهذا البلد
وأنت حل بهذا البلد.
ووالد وما ولد
ووالد وما ولد.
أحسن. Okay, have you learned it? Yes. Great. Now let's go to another surah. سورة الفلق.
فلق.
Yeah, let's practice قاف. Let's bounce this قاف a little, okay? Let's annoy this. Let's annoy the قاف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل أعوذ برب الفلق.
قل أعوذ برب الفلق.
أعوذ. We practice.
أعوذ.
أعوذ. ذال. Okay. قل أعوذ برب الفلق.
قل أعوذ برب الفلق.
أحسن. من شر ما خلق.
من شر ما خلق.
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب.
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب.
إذا وقب ذل.
إذا وقب.
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب.
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب.
Ba has fatha, okay? But when you stop, when you make a pause here, so the fatha, the haraka changes to sukun, right? Waqab, great. Wa min sharri naffathati fil 'uqad.
Wa min sharri naffathati fil 'uqad.
Naffathat.
Naffathat.
Let's read it again. Wa min sharri naffathati. نفاثات في العقد.
ومن شر النفاثات في العقد.
The last ayah. ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد.
ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق. اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now if I make any mistake, fix the mistake, okay? The قلقلة mistakes. So بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ما.
Oh, good. He was paying attention. So, ma, there is no qalqala in ma. Don't say ma, okay? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Not ma.
Good. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath.
No.
So, idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath.
Yes.
ورأيت الناس يدخلون.
No. يدخلون. No. It's يدخلون.
يدخلون. What was the mistake?
You. Put the word. Yes, again.
Oh, great. There was a harakat. So we have to do qalqala, not a harakat. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have to say يدخلون.
يدخلون. Means hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا.
أفواجا.
Great.
واجا.
Nice. Okay. So أفواجا, right? So again, listen. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. Good. Next one. فسبح بحمد
ربك.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, they are very curious and very smart. Now they are attacking me. Help me out. Loins are attacking me. Okay. فسبح بحمد ربك.
Not
كي.
ربك.
فسبح بحمد ربك.
ربك.
I make a pause there. واستغفره.
No.
واستغفر.
واستغفر. There is no قلقلة or anything. Just
okay.
Just سكون.
استغفر.
واستغفره. Right. إنه كان توابا. Which one?
B.
It has a letter there. Sorry. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah, we practiced the qalqala as well. So how many letters are there?
Five
letters. So qaf, qa, ba, ja, and da. Right?
Qut
bajad. If you don't, if we want to not forget this, if you want not to forget them, okay? Qut bajad.
North Pole Grandpa. North Pole means the icy grandpa, the cold one.
Okay. Or Santa.
So let's practice some words here, okay? Some words, then it will be enough. Sabahan.
Sabahan.
Great.
Sabahan.
Dafiq.
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 Dono. Dafiq.
Dafiq.
Dafiq. It's in Surah Al-Tariq.
Yeah.
وخلقنا الإنسان
مما إن دافق؟
يس يس
أوكي. حسد
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 نطفة
نطفة
نطانو you're fixing my mistake and you are making your mistake نطفة
نطفة
يطمع
يطمع
بطشة
بطشة
يدخل
يدخل
مطلع
مطلع
سلام هي حتى
مطلع
الفجر Okay, thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. So see inshallah in the next session. We will come again inshallah. Okay, let's recite a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Midstream.
Qasim Soleimani, the most prominent name in the struggle with global arrogance. The man of Iran who chose to fight America and Israel. The man of war and politics from Iran the revolution to Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Palestine, Yemen, and beyond. At the beginning of 2020, the decision was taken in the White House to cross all red lines and target the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasim Soleimani. American planes carried out the assassination meters away from Baghdad International Airport so that the man, accompanied by the deputy head of the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, was martyred. The first anniversary of the martyrdom of General Soleimani passed in 2021, with America at its weakest, passing through an election that witnessed a lot of controversy and objections, which overthrew Donald Trump, who made the decision to assassinate, and brought Joe Biden, who criticized his predecessor's policies towards Iran and promised a more diplomatic course. Martyr Soleimani was responsible for handling many regional files, and so he did with great capabilities. By targeting him, America aimed to crush his accomplishments, but it is clear that steadfastness is still the main feature of Soleimani's entire axis of resistance. Indeed, the regional resistance is advancing on many fronts, while Iran perseveres and does not concede. Rather, Iran forces others to solicit negotiations with it, which means that his assassination did not provide America with the result it had hoped for. The commander excelled in military fieldwork. With his increasing military power on the one hand and his great popularity with the Iranian people and the resisting peoples of the region, especially after his main role in eliminating Daesh in Iraq and Syria and thwarting American plans that were prepared for the two countries, the United States put him on its list of terrorism and imposed sanctions on him. Israel, for its part, considered him the most dangerous figure and placed him at the top of its list of assassinations. In addition to Palestinian resistance leader Martyr Baha Abu al-Ata and Lebanese resistance leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. When the Americans took the decision to assassinate Qasem Soleimani and his companion Haj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, their goal was to stop the escalation of the axis of resistance strength and capabilities by removing the Quds Force commander, the actual mastermind and coordinator of the resistance operations against the Americans, the Israelis, and the terrorism emanating from both sides, being Daesh and its affiliates. They failed. Soleimani won martyrdom and the resistance won an inspiration that will fuel decades of steadfastness and perseverance. Welcome to the Middle East Stream, Ammar Osman. Lieutenant General Haj Qasem Soleimani is the martyr of the entire Islamic nation, and the personality of that great martyr must be known to everyone as an influential figure in the Islamic world. Martyr Soleimani's approach accomplished many achievements in various cultural and social fields, especially in vindicating the personality of this righteous martyr. What would have happened to the region and the world if Martyr Soleimani was not present on the battlefields in Syria and Iraq? The efforts of Martyr Soleimani were focused on both conventional and soft war. Martyr Soleimani's jihad and resistance confronting terrorism and saving the lives of Muslims and Christians from the Takfiri terrorists' knives will never be erased from the pages of history, as will his support to the oppressed Palestinian people, his fight against Zionist occupation and Takfiri terrorists in Syria and Iraq, and his support for Yemen, which all fall within the framework of his support for the natives' right of resistance in the face of foreign occupation and aggression. Now, to discuss this issue, with us from Beirut is Dr. Yahya Ghaddar, Secretary General of the Global Gathering in support of the choice of resistance. Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Ghaddar. Now, in his work, Martyr Soleimani combined the jihadi, military, diplomatic, moral, and humanitarian dimensions. He was the one who wears a combat jacket and a war helmet and attends the front lines with the fighters. And he was the same person who was delivering medicine and medical equipment to his economically besieged country, Iran, and to those who were besieged by terrorists as well in Iraq and Syria. 2 years after the martyrdom of this great leader, how do you describe the loss of such a great leader?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
The axis of resistance and the resistance factions in various arenas lost a leader who was a real fighter, a clever expert, brother and father for every mujahid in every battle against American and Israeli hegemony. His loss is irreplaceable due to his personal characteristics, his virtues, his knowledge, his expertise, his humility, and his exceptional abilities. However, he succeeded in preparing generations to come and thousands of fierce fighters with the same qualities and traits he held. I mean, in fact, it's a great loss, but this loss gave birth to fierce fighters. Unfortunately, we all know that such leaders are not born to our nation by the dozen. The leader that Martyr Soleimani was brings inspiration to this region. It brings the people of West Asia hope that one day they will live to see all occupation eliminated. They have faith and hope that they will retain control of their lands and resources. They believe that it's their right to be free and independent of all intervention, and their right shall be attained by the sacrifices of Martyr Soleimani's students.
Well, Dr. Ghadar, the commander had been doing military fieldwork for 40 years of his life, sometimes in Salahuddin in Iraq, during the recapture of Tikrit from Daesh, and sometimes in Al-Bukamal, which was the last stronghold of Daesh in Syria, and other times he was also found in accompanying Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, the leader of Hezbollah, the Lebanese resistance, along with Martyr Imad Mughniyi in the southern suburbs of Beirut in the 2006 July war. And maybe sometimes even meeting with Palestinian leaders, especially in Lebanon when he visited Lebanon. He was indeed the thread that connected all of this resistance in the region. Do you think that the connection is still there?
It's true, as you mentioned. Martyr Soleimani was present in every arena and battlefield, and in every war or pivotal battle. Distances never prevented him from being present, nor the difference of languages and dialects, nor did the many borders and the many nationalities that took part in the fight against Takfiri terrorism. His martyrdom is an additional incentive to strengthen and develop relations between all factions. After his martyrdom, relations turned into complementarity, and the different factions united their fronts to avenge his blood by vowing to expel the American occupation from Iraq and Syria, and to secure the road to Palestine in a faster, less expensive way. In the end, the axis of resistance has been established. There is no longer any possibility for any power in the world, neither the American hegemony, nor the Zionist occupation, nor the Arab treachery. No matter how ferocious they are, and how much money they spend, and no matter the fake news media they activate, after what Martyr Soleimani presented, no one will be able to change the strong alliance forces of the axis of resistance that is approaching victory step by step. God willing, it will achieve all its goals in the face of American imperialism and Zionist aggression.
Well,
Dr. Ghadar, it also became clear of the great role that he played in supporting, that Hajj Qasim played in supporting, in financing, training, and arming various Palestinian factions who stood to confront the Israeli occupation. And this confirms the seriousness of a leader like Soleimani and a force like the Quds Force and a country like Iran in fighting Israel and in supporting the native resistance movements. Yet certain Arab propaganda emits the absolute opposite about Iran and about leader Soleimani. Has the resistance lost the media war in West Asia as the wave of normalization maybe have hit many Arab states?
Not at all. The resistance factions did not lose the media war despite all the money, effort, and maneuvers that was unfortunately offered by what they call media elites. With all this hegemony, the resistance factions did not lose the media war, but rather they won and consolidated their gains. The martyrdom of General Soleimani and the commander of the Quds Force hardened the position of the resistance. The resistance vowed to escalate its war to teach the enemies unforgettable lessons and defeat them by forcing America to withdraw from the region with its flag broken and defeated. This prompted the U.S., before evacuating the area, to order its tools and agents to unite their efforts to secure protection for their shaken regimes. This compelled these Arab regimes to announce what was once in secret out to the public. Some consider that the declaration of normalization is a victory, but that is completely false, because the Arab regimes that signed the deal of the century did so under pressure from former U.S. President Trump. Trump forced them to go public with normalization after they had been secretly agents for the Zionist entity ever since the establishment of these Arab regimes. Therefore, declaring their normalization in public is a victory for the axis of resistance and not the other way around. Therefore, the announcement of the normalization will not change the balance of power, but rather expose the traitors and weaken them. In any case, meeting of five adults does not produce a young man, and the merger of bankrupt companies does not produce a fully functioning company. The normalization and betrayal of the regimes is evidence of the strength of the resistance and the weakness of these treacherous regimes.
Well, please stay tuned with us, Dr. Ghaddar, and please also stay tuned with us because we will be talking more about this matter and specifically about the role of the Mossad that has been put out in the media for the first time, being acknowledged by the Zionist entity about the role of the Mossad in assassinating General Qasem Soleimani.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marvo Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
Former head of the Zionist Israeli Unitary Intelligence Division, Tamir Heyman, revealed that the Mossad played a vital role in the assassination of the former commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Forces, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, according to a report published by a magazine closely affiliated with the Israeli intelligence services. Now, according to that report, Heyman indicated that his tenure as head of the intelligence division witnessed two important, what he called, liquidations. One of which was the assassination of Commander Soleimani, and the other, the leader of the Islamic Jihad movement, Baha Abul Atta, who was assassinated in November 2019. Now, Heyman, the now retired general who headed military intelligence until October, appears to be the first official to confirm Israel's involvement, something we really never doubted. The role of the Mossad in the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in this following report.
Former head of the Israeli Military Intelligence Division, Tamir Heyman, revealed that the Mossad played a role in the assassination of former commander of the Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, in January 2020. This was the first public acknowledgement of Israel's role in the operation by a Zionist official. Heyman even stressed that, quote, his tenure as head of the intelligence division witnessed two important liquidations, one of which was the killing of Commander Soleimani, and in the other, the leader of the Islamic Jihad movement, Baha Abul Atta, unquote, who was assassinated in November 2019. A week after the assassination of Martyr Soleimani by U.S. drone operators, the American NBC News reported that Israeli intelligence helped confirm the details of Soleimani's flight from Damascus to Baghdad. Earlier this year, Yahoo News reported that Israel had access to Soleimani's numbers and gave that intelligence to the United States. But Tamir Heyman, the now retired general who headed military intelligence until October, appears to be the first official to confirm Israel's involvement. Heyman's comments were published in the November issue of a Hebrew language magazine closely affiliated with Israel's intelligence services. The interview was held in late September, a couple weeks before his retirement from the military. The authors wrote that Heyman opened the interview by talking about the American airstrike that killed Soleimani, but in which Israeli intelligence played a part. Assassinating Soleimani was an achievement, since our main enemy, in my eyes, are the Iranians. This is what Heyman told the magazine. He said that there were two significant and important assassinations during my term as head of army intelligence. Heyman called Soleimani, quote, the engine of the train of Iranian entrenchment, end quote, in neighboring Syria, adding that Israel has carried out multiple operations to disrupt the spread of Iranian weapons and funds throughout the region. Heyman's interview was published as the P5 Plus One and Iran were engaged in negotiations to reach a new JCPOA. The previous deal, struck in 2015, unraveled after the United States unilaterally withdrew in 2018 and reimposed crippling economic sanctions on Iran. Israeli occupation officials consistently remained mum on the strike, only to say that the killing was a stabilizing event in the region for the near future that would provide Israel with a window of opportunity to increase its operations against what Zionists call Iranian entrenchment. However, as time passes, more details are being revealed about the assassination, as Axios reported that former U.S. President Donald Trump told Israeli journalist Barak Ravid that he felt manipulated by Tel Aviv, stating that he was, quote, very disappointed in Israel having to do with that event, end quote, and that former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had been willing to fight Iran to the last American soldier.
Now, still with us in the studio in Beirut is Dr. Yahya Ghaddar, Secretary General of the Global Gathering in support of the Choice of Resistance, to talk about the role of the Mossad in assassinating a leader like Qasem Soleimani. Dr. Ghaddar, assassinating Soleimani was an achievement, since our main enemy in my eyes are the Iranians. This is what Tamir Heyman, the now retired general who headed Israel's military intelligence, announced last month. Does it come as a surprise for you that Israel has had a hand in assassinating leader Soleimani and his comrade Haj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis?
It's not surprising at all, the Israeli role in the assassination of Commander Soleimani, as it always has a hand in all the conspiracies, bombings, acts of sabotage, chaos, and attacks in Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and elsewhere. America and Israel are complementary in conspiracy and hostility towards Arabs, Muslims, and free nations of the world. This Israeli recognition did not surprise us at all. Rather, we believe that this recognition will call for a response from the resistance axis, just as the response began directly after the assassination of Commander Soleimani and his companions, and the response continues according to the terms of the resistance axis, which works to remove the American occupation entity from Iraq and Syria and the Israeli occupation from Palestine.
Well, the timing of the interview was a bit interesting because the interview was published as the P5 plus one and Iran were engaged in negotiations to reach a new JCPOA in Vienna. Since the previous deal, which was struck in 2015, was unilaterally unraveled by the United States of America, who withdrew in 2018 because this is how Trump felt about it. And he reimposed crippling economic sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Why was this interview published at this specific timing, in your opinion?
Without a doubt, the Zionist entity is working hard with all its might to thwart putting this nuclear agreement back on track. It might be an unintended coincidence, but it may also be an attempt by Israel to invest in the negotiations and seek to sabotage them. Israel is terrified and defeated. It's afraid of America returning submissively to the nuclear agreement, which it unilaterally withdrew from during the Trump administration. When we hear all the leaders of this entity talking about the nuclear agreement, we see that they are already in great confusion due to the ongoing negotiations. Therefore, they are trying by all means to obstruct America's return to this nuclear agreement. We must not underestimate the role of global Zionism, which dominates political decisions in the United States and to a large extent in Europe as well, especially in France recently. Therefore, they are trying all possible ways to delay any agreement process. The Israelis consider that if they cannot prevent this agreement, then at least delaying this agreement for a few months or even years is a victory for them. Therefore, we see that negotiations taking place are taking much longer than expected. But at the same time, the Islamic Republic of Iran is not in a hurry. It has its own conditions. If Americans are able to achieve these conditions, the first of which is the removal of all sanctions, only then will Iran be able to accept a return to the nuclear agreement.
Well, Dr. Ghaddar, according to the Iranian-Iraqi Joint Investigation Committee on the file of the assassination of Commander Soleimani and his companions, all possible judicial and legal measures will be taken to prosecute and to punish what they called the perpetrators and the elements involved in this crime and the assassinations. Will that be enough to curb the Israeli-U.S. urge to commit similar crimes and similar violations in the near future?
No, never. This will not be sufficient and will not constitute elements of force to prevent Israel and America from committing more assassinations and aggressions. We believe that what was taken by force can only be recovered by force. These are the words of the late leader Jamal Abdel Nasser. The resistance alone is the compelling and deterrent response. And this is what Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah announced on behalf of the resistance factions. Sayyid Nasrullah said the call of the ultimate response by expelling the Americans from Iraq and Syria by force and resistance. There is no other way but resistance. This does not negate the fact that the legal work made by the Iraqi-Iranian committee is not important, not at all. Their work is very important, especially as an evidence in front of international human rights organizations. The criminal act of terrorism that was committed by America with the help of Israel should always be dealt with both on the field and in the courtroom. However, working only in the courtroom is not enough. The Americans have no place amongst the peoples of this nation. This region is tired of their imperialism. Palestine is tired of Zionism. Both should be eliminated, and it will happen in our lifetime, God willing.
Dr. Abdari, Iran has always been dismissed by the West as Israel's main threat in the region of West Asia, but so far there has been multiple provocations by the Israeli entity against the Islamic Republic of Iran, from assassinations to open aggressions to sabotage, and it doesn't seem to be backing down anytime soon. Is there a possibility that Israel might actually push to ignite what it has always worked hard for achieving, which is a global direct war against the Islamic Republic of Iran?
The options before the usurping entity are very few, but still there is a very weak possibility, but an irrational possibility, like that of a suicide bomber to drag the world into a war against the Islamic Republic of Iran. If this war takes place, it would be like the day of resurrection. If this war takes place, it will change everything that preceded it, and it will practically be in the interest of the axis of resistance and the interest of the Arab and Islamic nation, which will be liberated once and for all from all forms of imperialism and colonialism. That is why we believe that this war, if it occurs, will only be in the interest of the resistance axis in West Asia and will be translated as a crushing victory for the resistance axis and a brutal defeat for American imperialism and Zionism and their tools of Arab treacherous regimes.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Yahya Fadar, Secretary General of the Global Gathering in support of the Choice of Resistance, for being with us to talk about the second anniversary of the loss of a very important leader to the entire West Asian region. Thank you very much for your contribution. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Middle East stream. Please be safe. Assalamu alaikum.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
We've been discussing the effect of the Shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha and her choice to be a Shahida. The effect of Shahada, a Shahid, is a glowing light, a beacon that allows those who are lost, the mustadhafin are lost. It glows. Taking from the light of the Ahlul Bayt, the Shuhada that are out, the Ahlul Bayt themselves are light. The Holy Prophet is Sirajan Munira. Any Shaheed becomes a beacon. Shahada creates a beacon. Besides the Isma of the Ma'soom, the Shahada of a Ma'soom, of an Imam, of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, this creates a beacon. brings mustada'afin, enlightens the mustada'afin, allows them to see. One of the things that we experienced with the revolution is that a lot of the people were still asleep.